Susie, I think it's been about 16 years you've known me.
Yeah.
Aren't you lucky? I have changed a number of jobs at that time. But so, hey everybody, you all right? Good. I was up at 10 to 5 this morning. How about you? I am currently sponsored by coffee of any sort. So all is well and God is good. What I thought we'd do is I would kind of let you know a little bit about me. We've worked out, I was here probably about just over 2 years ago, and I have a multiple number of jobs, so hopefully you'll get a little bit of a better idea in these next couple of minutes, and then we'll launch into what we're going to do. But you'll definitely need a Bible, just to let you know. And probably a good idea to get to write down some notes, or just because you're bored, just doodle is generally what I end up doing. Hey, John, how you doing, mate? I saw John on Wednesday, and I said, mate, are you coming on Saturday? He's like, I don't know. But John's amazing. Love John to bits. And we've got a very exciting project that we're going to launch as well, I think. So stay tuned. While you're finding those things, Susie mentioned Kids Leaders Summit. The early bird rate for that runs out on Tuesday. It's 3 days of investing in you as a leader so that you can be a better equipped leader. Whether that means you're paid or not paid, that doesn't matter, because ultimately we're all either part of a team or we're leading something, even if we might think, well, I've only got 4 children in my group. You're still leading something. And we want to invest in you, whatever the scale of your ministry. And so please do look at that online. Search Kids Leaders Summit 2019, not 2020, which I keep on saying because I'm in the kind of academic year now, you know, and I forget it's actually 2019 still. So do have a look. You might go, oh, it looks a bit expensive. Yeah, that's because it's 4-star hotel and incredible food, more than you can ever eat. I'm going to be there, the rest of the national team are going to be there, Mark Griff is speaking, but I'm really amazed and honoured that we've got Bishop Jill Duff, who comes from Lancaster. She is brilliant and a real champion in the Church of England for children and families. And then we've also got a mate of ours called Dave Sinos, who is a child theologian. So the beauty of someone like him is, he can take those really big, complicated questions that you have and make it able to explain it to boys and girls. So my first question is, how do I explain holistic spirituality to a 5-year-old? I can't wait for him to land, all right? So we were praying beforehand, and there's a couple of things just to throw out before we get into it, don't worry. And it was just that we were praying, and I just saw this place filled with butterflies. Actually, a lot of us were trying to catch them, you know? But some of us were struggling to think that we kind of looked at this a little bit as well, of some of us feel our nets aren't good enough to catch them. Or our nets are too big, in that the holes are too big to actually catch the butterflies, they fly out. Or maybe they just need mending. And my prayer for you is that over these next couple of hours, that actually you'll allow God to put the net back together and for you to capture what it is that he has got for you. That's my prayer for you. And so, God, I throw that out and ask that wherever we need our nets fixing, that you will fix them. Lord, where we need to catch new vision, fresh vision, help us, I pray. In your name, amen. Beautiful. So, who am I? Me is... Yes, we're going to talk about Chosen in a minute. But me is... this is my little family. I've got 1 wife, 2 children. Amelia and Sophie are my kids. They've already phoned me this morning asking why am I not in bed, and they're currently swimming, so that's all good, hopefully not drowning. And there's Claire, who has to put with a lot when all 3 of me and the kids are together. She doesn't enjoy car journeys with the 3 of us because we go a little bit bonkers. The other thing about me is that my full-time paid job is at St. Philip's Chapel Street. It's a church plant, part of New Wine family, I work with Gareth Robinson and do pray for him because he's got to work with me. And we, 3 years, we're into our fourth year now, we planted into a church that had 20 members and had five children in 2014. That was the last count they were able to do. It's amazing to see what God has done and the story that he's writing through people like us to where we're now up to 40 children. And it's quite incredible. I can't believe it, because I thought I was out of kids ministry when I first turned up, and there was nine children, all of which were staff kids, because they know it better than I do, right? And, or at least they should do. And yeah, just to see what God's done, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. The other thing is this picture here, New Wine, is a massive part of my life. I am not paid to do it. It's out of absolute joy that I do it. My first summer, I'd just got married, and I was on what's now called the Stomping Ground team, and I caught a bug, and one that has seemed to have grown. I didn't set out to be head of ministry, I can tell you that right now. And now that I get the honour and the privilege of doing that, that's another big story, but we can talk about that if you really want to know. And then finally, the only thing that fuels me apart from Jesus is coffee. I should have also put Haribo, because they also are good for me. And a little unknown fact, or maybe you do know this already, 7 large bags of Jelly Babies are 1 of your 5 a day. So, let's talk about what we're here to talk about, shall we? Let's talk about, you saw that beautiful picture of hot air balloons. And I don't know if you've been in a hot air balloon. They're quite fascinating to watch. There was a massive one at New Wine this year as we launched Luminosity. And that is a really, really exciting part of what we're going to be doing. And hot air balloons do quite incredible things. They can actually be seen from miles upon miles away. And I also really like this picture because this John Tyson quote kind of relates to it. So John Tyson is a church leader over in the States and takes some very beautiful pictures as well. You should go to unsplash.com and type in John Tyson. But this is one of my favourite quotes that I keep coming back to at the moment. It says, "The average young person under the age of 21 years has spent 10,000 hours playing video games, whilst the world around us is on fire. It's broken. It's falling apart at the seams. And we need people who are not heroes in an invisible, fantasized world, but who are heroes in real life. We need your gifts, your passion, your energy. We need your attention." And I don't know what that does to you, but for me, it makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, because it's sad that children are spending that long on a computer game. But also, it fills me with hope, because we can be real life heroes for the boys and girls that we get to, and the families that we get to minister to. But my question is, how are you going to be a hero? Are we going to choose to be a hero? Turn to the people next to you. How did you get involved in children's, families, and youth ministry? I mean, we don't need, like, you know, long histories. I just want to know, you know, I just walked into church and I was the youngest person there. I'm a parent, and I didn't want my kids to be causing so much noise. What was the reason why you're involved in children's ministry? Discuss.
Thank you.
Okay, lovely. Maybe you fit into one of these categories or more. I'm a parent. Some of the people I've worked with were purely in ministry, in the children's and youth ministry, because they felt guilty that someone had to look after their children on a Sunday. That's not a best plan, by the way. But also, people, you may be... there was nobody else. Otherwise, there'd be nothing for the children in our church. Maybe you were actually approached by another member of the team, or maybe even the vicar or church leader. Maybe you just don't like being in adult services. Maybe it just seems that kids and youth work is just much more fun. Or maybe you feel as though you're called to it. Or maybe you are all of those. The beauty of what we get to do, it will be different in all of our churches, I get that. But we get to release a generation to do the incredible things that only God can do through them. And we get to help them do that. You know? We get to invest in the next prime minister, possibly, of our country in future years. We get to invest in the next big sports star in the next however many years. Who knows what we're going to be able to do, but are we going to be able to step up and be real life heroes? Deuteronomy 7. It's at the front of your Bibles. Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 9. I can't find it now. Okay, so Deuteronomy 7. 6 to 9 says this: "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." You are a holy people. You are chosen. So whichever way you ended up in family, children's, youth ministry, I would actually say, like Esther, you are ordained for a time such as this, with the children that you have. And so let's grab hold of it. 2 Chronicles 9, it says, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, says this: "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." I've been doing this for 20 years, and the amount of people that have said, "You know, what about ordination? Go on, you'd be great at it." I'd be awful. I'm not called to be an ordained person. I love my vicars, I love the people I work with, but no, not for me. Why? Because actually I feel that God has called me to reach a generation, to commend his works to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. Yes, I could do that as a church leader, but I've got so many more freedoms as a church kids pastor. You know, I absolutely love what I do. And when I read that verse from Chronicles, it's like, pick me. I want to be strengthened. I want to, because I am not going to give up. There have been times where I wanted to give up. Don't get me wrong. Especially in the last 4 years, where it's hard and it's a slog. And I, at one point when we had those 9 children, and we had ranging from 3 to 15 in the same room. A lot of you are in the same space as me, and you're like, and I'd come from a church where previously in North Yorkshire, where we had 60 0 to 14s on a Sunday morning. And so I knew how to do, I can do the big thing, but I'd really lost control on how to do the little thing. But I now get it even better, because I want to be a real life hero for the children that I serve, whatever number it is. We're chosen. We are here for this time. And the eyes of God are searching the land to say, who wants to do it? Do you want to be the one going, pick me? Or are you feeling a little jaded, a little tired? John 21 is what we're actually going to talk about, but I wanted to frame it with that as our backdrop. John 21. We know the story. We know that Jesus died, I hope. We know that he rose again. We know that he met various people. He showed himself on the road to Emmaus. He showed himself to Thomas. And then they go back to what they know. Peter goes back to what he knows, which is, I'm going to go back to the delight of fishing. Why? Why does he go back to fishing? Well, would you not? What else is there to do? I don't know what to do now, God. I'll go back to what I know. And the others go, well, if Peter's doing it, I'll do it. And so a number of the other guys who were fishermen go and join him for the night on the boat, where they seem to have forgotten everything that they can do because they don't catch anything. That's not a very good fisherman. It's a bit like Alexis Sanchez for United. Doesn't score a goal. Rubbish. All right? I'm a Man United fan. It's okay. And so they've gone out and they've gone fishing all night, nothing. And then there's a stranger on the boat, or on the shore, sorry, who says, throw your nets on the other side. And they go, what? We've been out all night. Now just do it. Chuck it on the other side. And so they do. And then they have this incredible haul of fish. And one of them is so into detail. I don't do detail very well at all. They count 153 fish. All right. We need the detail people in our kids' ministry and our youth ministry, just to let you know. But we also need the big thinkers as well. Because if we don't have either, it's going to get, right, if you've just got big thinkers, nothing will ever get done. If you've just got detail, we'll just have the day-to-day done. We need both. I was saying, I've been down in London a couple of days this week already to talk about our strategy as New Wine for the next 5 years. And Susie went, don't like the S word. Because, for me, I think 5 years, okay, great. Let's go there. I want to be there today, is my problem. But so there's these big thinking, and Peter goes in, and we know the story that he goes, oh, John says, "It's the Lord." And so Peter goes, "Great, let's dive in and swim home." And so then he swims and they meet Jesus. And then what is it, what I find fascinating about that, this first chunk in John 21, is that there's already fish on the fire. So why did they need to catch them? I'll leave that one with you. Just as a little thought. Probably ask Dave when he arrives for Kids Leaders Summit. But and then they have breakfast together. And then it says this in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus addresses Peter with his actual name, Simon. I'm not sure about you, but my birth certificate doesn't say Rick on it. It says Richard, Ian, Otto. And I was saying to my friend Richard at the back that I'm only ever called Richard when I'm in trouble. So there's only really two people that call me Richard. My wife, on a daily occurrence, and my mother, on a regular occurrence, normally because she's phoning me because I've not done something. And so Peter knows that this is quite an important moment because he's being called by his Sunday name. He's being drawn in again. Why is he being drawn in again? Well, a few chapters earlier, I don't know him. I don't know him. I really don't know him. Yet before those chapters, he even said, I will die for you. And yet, in this moment, Jesus addresses Peter to say, "Hey, let's get back to where we were." He only calls him Simon Peter three times. First one is when Jesus asks Peter to follow him. When Peter says, "Well, you are obviously the Messiah," and then when they go to sleep by accident in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's on his guard. He's ready, and then Jesus says to him, "Do you love me?" "Yes." And the response from Jesus is, "Feed my lambs," is the first point. "Feed my lambs," he says. "Feed the young ones. You're going to be doing a job now, Peter, and I need you to step up. I need you to do this. So, feed my lambs." Having lived in North Yorkshire, you do see quite a lot of lambs. You don't see that many in Manchester anymore. But they're kind of crazy. They jump all over the place. They get caught. They get away from their parent, their mother. They aren't always that bright. And that reminds me of Sunday mornings in our church. Reminds me of my own children. Reminds me of me.
But therefore, for us as people who are given the responsibility to look after and engage with boys and girls, how do you feed the children around you? How are you investing in them on a Sunday morning? Is it pick it off the shelf and do it? Or is it, I really want you to get to know who Jesus is and let's really press in? There is a spectrum. And sometimes I'm here with, I just need to take it off the shelf right now. And there's other times where I really want to invest. I think we need to be real that at times it's okay to be on this spectrum. But how do we feed the lambs around us? How are we doing with discipleship? One of the things that we've been looking at as New Wine is how do we actually disciple people in the world in the way that we are doing across the other 50 weeks of the year and not just in one hit wonder of a summer conference. And I think this is a growing thing within the church. We don't really know how to disciple well. For me, it's about getting that groundwork in right at the bottom. Research will tell you that if we reach a child when they are in toddler group, they are more likely to stick with their faith. So, it's no longer about youth ministry. Although we need youth ministry, we actually need to be funneling our resource more so. And I know you guys get this, but we need to be discipling. How do we help our parents disciple our children? How do you disciple your own children? Because I've found that I'm great with the 650 boys and girls. But when it comes to that one question from my 8-year-old, I'm stuck. How are we feeding our lambs? The other thing as well is, how are we doing outreach? Are we reaching out? What are we doing? And if it's not working, are we willing to put it down? We started something called Kids Life in our church. The idea was that we would reach into the local primary school. I'm in there every week doing an assembly. The hope was that they would then grab hold of what it was that they wanted to be part of in our church, and we would do this whole big crazy idea, and it didn't work. Church had put money behind it. We were all praying into it. It was going, and we were getting 8 children. And I'm going back to God, going, God, come on. We're putting money behind this. We're praying about this. I'm fasting. Like, I'm giving blood, sweat, and tears to this thing. And my vicar said to me, hey, mate, it's just not right now. It's great. The stuff there is brilliant, but it's just not where we're at. One of my team came to me and said, Rick, I don't know how to say this, but our outreach is more Christian than Sundays. It's like, oh, okay. Let's look at that then. More churchy, more, it was too big what we were trying to do. But I would love every child in our nation to have a choice to pick Jesus. And that's what I want us to think about when we think about feeding our lambs. The next thing, do you love me? You know I love you. Okay. In other translations, it says, shepherd my sheep. Care for my sheep. And in our world of children's and families and youth ministry, how are we looking after those on our teams? Are we shepherding them well? Are we able to actually feel part of a team in the way that we are leading that, those of us whose responsibility it is? Or does it feel like we're just reacting and just filling in the rota because there's not enough people? For those of us who are given the responsibility of leading our kids' ministries and youth ministries, I would say we've got to be looking after our team. We've got to be investing in them. How often do we do that? Also, how are we looking after ourselves? I was just talking to Steve as he came in. He says, "How's the family?" And I said, "I think they're okay. I've not really seen them much this week." And it was even worse when one of them was sick while I was away. I did not have many husband points that time. How am I looking after myself? How am I looking after those who are nearest to me? And then also, how are we looking after the children in our groups on a Sunday, on a midweek? How are we actually shepherding them? The role of a shepherd is to protect. It's to move at the right point. It's to take everybody with you. How are we doing with that as well? Because it's all right with the children who really get the Bible stuff, but what about the children that aren't getting it? How do we bring them up? How do we help them move along the row and help us shift along? How are we shepherding? Finally, do you love me? Please, how many times are you going to ask me? Feed my lambs. So we have to look after them. We have to, but then he's saying, look, feed them. Keep on doing it. Keep feeding, keep engaging with them. Think of new ways. Think of old ways that maybe you've done way beyond many years ago. I had a church member who had been in the church for 26 years. She was part of my kids' team. And every idea I came up with, she went, "No, that's not very good. We did that in 1983. And it didn't work then." It really wasn't that old. But, you know, like there might be some really good stuff that we did. But we're thinking we always need to be keep on going to something new. Maybe we don't. Maybe we just need to keep on investing and feeding. You know, Jesus then says, why did he say it three times? He's doing a bit of reinstating for Peter. I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know you. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. He is reinstated with a new role, with a new thing to do. So feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep. And then finally he comes on to follow me. He talks a little bit about in verse 18, 19 about how Peter's going to probably die, which probably isn't the best lesson for children. But there's this brilliant quote from Henry Nguyen that says this: "The long, painful history of the church is the history of people ever and again tempted to choose power over love, control over the cross, being a leader over being led." We need to be passionate about what we do. But remember, the church leader has also got an awful lot of other things that's on their plate. And we would love to have complete control over the budget, but that might not be possible. We would love to have the control and the power, because children's ministry is important. Yes, it is. But equally so is discipleship of spiritual godparents for the children that we are raising up. So is youth ministry. We can't just bang the drum and say, we need more, we need more. Yes, we do. But let's also take into consideration, as we are being Peter and going, yes, 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 I think we've got to take on board this. Love our youth pastor more. Love our worship leader more, even though they keep on asking for more microphones. When you're like, I haven't got any paper. Let's show more love as a children's and families ministry rather than battle axes at the ready in PCC meetings. You know, because following Jesus does mean we have to put ourselves down and pick up the cross and follow him. It's no longer our way, it's his way. That's what he's saying to Peter. You're not going to do it the way that you've done it before, my friend. You're going to do it. You're going to feed lambs, you're going to look after the sheep, and you're going to feed them again. Because that's what I'm calling you to do. So let's not replay history. Let's be people who are chosen and know that we're a holy people. Know that we're standing there going, yeah, I'm up for this, God. Here we go. But then also, let's do it in a way that actually cheers other ministries on. That's what God, I sense, is calling us to do as children and families workers and youth workers. We are chosen to do this stuff. But as we do it, we follow. Knowing our little role. I want to unpack a little bit more after, and we're going to do more ministry later on. But let's just stand before we break. And really simply, just put your hands out in front of you. I mean, people think that Holy Spirit ministry with boys and girls is complicated. It's really not. It's put your hand out in front of you. Holy Spirit comes in one size, so it's the same for you as it is for the boys and girls you work with. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come. May we be open to you. I sense that some of us don't feel chosen. I joke that the reason I'm head of New Wine Kids Ministry is a little bit like when the colonel in Jungle Book asks for a volunteer and everybody takes a step back apart from the one who's chewing on the food. You're chosen. Not because everybody took a step back, but because God's eyes were roaming the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, in those places where we don't feel chosen. Maybe there's hurt linked to that. Maybe there's stuff going on, but reignite our passion for you.